Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Christ Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Learn more about Christ OPC by visiting our webpage at www.christopcatl.org. Currently, Christ OPC is meeting on campus each Sunday at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for worship using social distancing protocols and assigned seating. Sunday school is offered to children and adults at 9:30 a.m., concluding at 10:30 a.m. for a brief time of fellowship before the 11 o'clock worship. A volunteer staffed nursery is available for Sunday school and the 11 a.m. worship. Nursery volunteers and children receive temperature checks prior to admittance. Please contact the church through its website for additional information and directions.
Let us give our attention to this God's inspired word. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. The grass withers and flower fades, but God's word abides forever. The Gospel of Mark began with the people of Judea and Jerusalem going out to the wilderness to hear the preaching of John and receive the baptism of repentance. Now, John the Baptist is dead, but the nation is once again going out to the desert, to the wilderness, this time to seek the one to whom John the Baptist pointed. They are seeking Christ. Remember, John said, "One is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In the Bible, often the wilderness is where God reveals himself in a special way to his people and to have them worship him as Lord and God. Well, the story begins with an invitation in verse 31 from Jesus to his disciples. Recall that the disciples in verses 7 through 13 had been sent out to proclaim the good news of the kingdom to the surrounding villages and towns. And they've likely been gone for several months, going through the villages, sometimes meeting with a believing reception, but sometimes encountering hostility and rejection. And so they are undoubtedly very tired from this long season of ministry and proclamation. And Jesus, knowing their need, invites them to rest. He says, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." Psalm 103 says, "God knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. He knows our frailty. And so our Savior, knowing the frailty and weakness of his apostles, invites them to a place of Sabbath and rest with him. Let's find an environment for peace, or as we might say today, for some R&R, rest and relaxation. So they get into the boat, make their way across the lake, but then, verse 33 tells us, many saw them and recognized them, and apparently had a good guess as to where they were going, and ran ahead on foot. Now you can imagine what the disciples, the apostles' reaction was when they got off the boat. You again? These crowds, these needy people? It may well be that they felt annoyed and perturbed because of the crowd following them. Can't we be left alone for a little bit? But Jesus had compassion on them, verse 34. And it's that compassion which is going to be the basis for the rest of what takes place in this miracle story. The compassion of the Good Shepherd. Can God spread a table in the wilderness is the question of Psalm 78. And here we find that in his compassion and in his power, he is most certainly able. Well, 3 points as we take up this text today. Firstly, the famished flock. Secondly, the gracious shepherd. And lastly, left with more than enough. The famished flock, the gracious shepherd, and left with more than enough. The famished flock. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd because he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, there are several places where this phrase is used. We read from one in Numbers chapter 27. Moses knew the hearts of Israel, and he understood that left without supervision, left without shepherding, what would Israel do? They would be a flock that would scatter, and a flock that would return to Egypt. Isn't that something that they constantly said during Moses' ministry? We want to go back. We want to return to that land from which we came. And unless it were for Moses and his shepherd's staff and care, they wouldn't have come through the desert, through the wilderness. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Moses knew the hearts of the people. He knew they needed a shepherd. And so he asked the Lord, and he pleads with the Lord, don't leave them alone, that they might not be like sheep without a shepherd. God answers Moses' prayer with the raising up of a man named Joshua, a man whose name means the Lord saves, the Lord delivers. God will not abandon his flock, but he will supply a leader, a shepherd, for them to bring them into the land that he had vowed to give to their fathers. Another time this phrase is used is in Kings and Chronicles, where God tells Ahab through the prophet Micaiah that the people will be scattered like sheep without a shepherd because of his wickedness as a king. There is something even more dangerous than a wolf in sheep's clothing, and that is a wolf in shepherd's clothing. And we find here, even in this same chapter, such a wolf in shepherd's clothing in King Herod. You remember in the previous story, Herod, not a faithful shepherd who looks after the needs of the flock, but cares only about his own pleasure and self-indulgence. He views the flock more as resources to be exploited than as inviting his care. The scribes, the Pharisees earlier in Mark, they're not true faithful shepherds. They view the flock as a burden and a bother, and so they really want to outsource their responsibilities to shepherd the flock. But Jesus, notice, has the approach and response of a true shepherd. He had compassion on them. Compassion that Herod did not demonstrate. Compassion that the scribes and Pharisees did not possess. Jesus had compassion on them. I myself will shepherd my flock, the book of Ezekiel says, that his sheep might be restored and snatched from the hand of those who have made the sheep food for themselves. It's going to take the mercy of the Lord to regather and to bring his flock back into the safety of the fold. Mercy plus might equals miracle. And Jesus will, in this miracle, show his fulfillment of that shepherd of Psalm 23 and Ezekiel 34. Now, the way skeptics and critics try to explain, or really explain away, the miracles of Jesus is often very bizarre. For example, that Jesus walked on ice, not on water, or that the demons he cast out were just thoughts of negativity being expelled by the, quote, possessed. Well, one must start from naturalistic assumptions to make such ridiculous determinations. In this story, there are some who say that what's really going on is Jesus is inviting the people to share what they have. And so that little boy who had the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he opened his hands and shared of what he had. And so you too should go out and be nice and share. But if we read this story, we are to understand very clearly the flock, the people, are without any resources in themselves. They have pursued Jesus. They have followed the apostles, but they hadn't done any planning, and they had nothing with them. Their need was highlighted, and Jesus is going to supply for their needs. They are like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, completely vulnerable, completely exposed to all the dangers of the desert, with no one to protect them. Sheep need to be led to the place of sustenance. They need to be led to the place of provision and safety. And so as Jesus encounters them, he shows that his compassion and his power alone is going to meet their needs. They're the famished flock, but secondly, the gracious shepherd. Notice the first thing that Mark tells us after the assessment of verse 34. He had compassion on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. And then next, and he began to teach them many things. Their first need as a famished flock is to hear the word of God. That's what Jesus begins to do right out of the gates. Take a survey among the population. What are the top 5 things the world needs now? You would probably get all kinds of answers. We need beauty. We need imagination. We need acceptance and so forth. But what we think we need versus what we actually need, God tells us in His Word. What do we need more than all, most of all? And He began to teach them many things. Perhaps you've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. At the bottom of the pyramid is food, water, next warmth, rest, next safety, security, and at the top of it is belonging and relationships and self-fulfillment. But the Bible has a very different vision of our hierarchy of needs. At the foundational level, at the root and core of our need, is to know God and to hear His Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Take everything else away, and you have the Word of God, and then we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. That's why Jesus began to teach them many things. And so we can ask from this text, how's your appetite? Not your appetite for the latest updates and news and buzz. Not appetite for personal affirmation and accolades. But your appetite for internalizing, imbibing the Word of Christ. One reformer exclaimed, "The merciful Spirit has designed that the Scriptures be understood by all the faithful with as little difficulty as possible. I beg you, let us not permit divine Scripture to become Egyptian hieroglyphs. The Son of God took upon Himself flesh in order that He might not be unknown." Jesus began to teach them many things. That is their first need. But not only with the bread of His Word, but actual bread too. And here we come to the conversation between Jesus and His disciples. "And when it grew late, His disciples came to Him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.'" It's getting late. They see the sun going down. And they feel in their stomachs the roaring of hunger. And the idea here is, let's send them on their way to go and buy victuals and provisions for themselves. Now, Jesus' response is quite startling in verse 37. "But He answered them, 'You give them something to eat.'" What? Us? Are you asking us to spend 6 months worth of wages to supply for 5,000 strangers we've hardly met? And you have to remember, too, when Jesus sent them on their journey back in verse 7, He had told them not to take any bread with them or any money or extra clothing. So they are completely without the ability to supply for the crowds this nourishment and provision. Jesus' response then underscores their bankruptcy and their emptiness. "You give them something to eat." This reminds us of an interchange between Elisha and his servants. A man came from Bel Shalishah, bringing the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And Elisha said, "Give to the men that they may eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 men?" So he repeated, "Give them to the men that they may eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." Jesus is going to prove himself to be the new Moses providing for his people in the wilderness, and the new Elisha bringing the abundance, this banquet, into the most unlikely of places. He commanded them all, verse 39, to sit down in groups. Notice this little detail. On the green grass. How can we not hear Psalm 23 here? He makes us lie down in green pastures. The green grass, a carpet of green in a desert, in a desolate situation. But they're not just going to eat and run. They're going to recline. And the rest to which Jesus had originally invited his 12 apostles is now going to be shared by the thousands of people as they sit down, verse 40, in groups by hundreds and by 50s, hearkening back to the division of the camps of the tribes in the wilderness under Moses. Taking the 5 loaves of bread, Mark tells us, he said a blessing. And then he broke the loaves, gave them to the disciples to set before the people. The very same actions of verse 41, took, blessed, gave thanks, broke, gave, same used to describe the Lord's Supper in Mark chapter 14, verse 22. Here we have a table spread in the wilderness, a preview of the heavenly banquet set at the wedding supper of the Lamb. They sit down, and as Jesus sends the disciples with the baskets, they kept setting the bread and fish as they have these fish sandwiches in the wilderness. And the text tells us in verse 42, they all ate and were satisfied. This is not a little snack to tide them over. This is as much as they can eat. An all-you-can-eat buffet. A miracle that points to the superabundance of Christ. Not just barely enough, but more than sufficient for their needs. They all ate and were satisfied. Listen to what Isaiah 49 tells us of the promise of restoration. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages. And then this is what the prophet says. They shall feed along the ways. On all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. This is that feast of Isaiah, fulfilled, realized, brought to completion. They all ate and were satisfied. This banquet contrasts with Herod's debauched banquet in the previous passage, that drunken feast for his captains, officials, and leading men of Galilee. Herod's feast, with its exotic fanfare, cannot ultimately satisfy. It cannot fill. But here is the true shepherd giving the true bread which satisfies and which fills. There's the famished flock, there's the gracious shepherd, but lastly, left with more than enough. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. It's quite interesting that Mark does not record the reaction of the crowd to this miracle. In other instances, they see what Jesus has done, and he tells us they are overcome with amazement and wonder. But in this case, it's possible that they don't even realize a miracle has taken place. The disciples certainly know, though. They are the ones who have been told and who told Jesus there are 5 loaves and 2 fish. But this was enough for Jesus to multiply and to provide for the crowds. What is the purpose of this story? Well, I think the clue is given there in verse 43. 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. That is to say, each one of the apostles took an overflowing basket. We have an overflowing cup in Psalm 23. Here, overflowing baskets of bread and fish. In the wilderness, manna was not left over. You remember, they were not allowed to pick up extra for themselves. Each day would give that day's provision, except for the day before the Sabbath. But this bread, there is plenty for others as well. What is Mark doing for us in writing of the leftovers in verse 43? He's telling us, the reader, there is enough bread for you too. The bread which began to be served here in Mark 6, in other words, will continue to be served for those who follow Jesus. Just as the crowds pursued Jesus to the wilderness and he saw to their provision, so we who seek Christ will certainly be rewarded and cared for. The very next chapter, if you look over at chapter 7, one of the great professions of faith in Mark, where the woman, the Syrophoenician woman's reaction to Jesus' parable of the table, who, when he says, "Let the children be fed first, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But you remember what she says there, verse 28. "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." I've heard these called the mighty crumbs, because they fall from the table of the kingdom of God. There's a hymn that says, "We taste thee, O thou living bread, and long to feed upon thee still. We drink of thee the fountainhead, and thirst our souls from thee to fill." There is enough, ample provision for you to come to the banqueting table. Come to Christ, the one who is the true shepherd. Who will show us good? The psalmist asks. Let the light of your face rest upon us, and we will rejoice. This text tells us, the story reminds us then that we don't have to manufacture our own astroturf, our artificial grass on which to lie down. The green grass prepared for this flock, this crowd, is prepared for you as well, to recline and to rest. Return, my soul, unto your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. What if all the gifts and pleasures of this life are withheld? What will you still have? You will still have the presence and the favor of Christ, the shepherd of the sheep. And with him, there is sufficiency. With him, there is our cup running over. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have provided for us that final manna from heaven, Christ himself, and that he has promised that when we eat of him, we shall never grow hungry again. And so, Lord, help us to have our faith strengthened, that you would encourage us, and that you would help us to fix our eyes on him, our good shepherd. In his name we pray. Amen.